As you are listening to this, ballots are being mailed for the March 5th primary election, and the Colorado calendar also indicates Thursday, March 7th is caucus night as well. The Colorado election season is well underway. Greetings again, I'm Adam Morgan. Although we've been hearing a lot regarding who gets on the Colorado ballot at the Supreme Court, what we're not hearing so much about is preparing ourselves to vote in the primary and other essential elections information. From the voting process to election integrity and security to protecting election workers are among the topics we cover on this edition. The City and County of Denver Clerk and Recorder, Mr. Paul Lopez, is with us.
Four elections. So the first election is something that we are in right now, and that's an Ebert election. It's a tax district. It's a recall election that's taking place. It's a relatively small universe, but, you know, it's recall election. The tax district is out in Green Valley Ranch. Then we have, and this is going to be easy to remember, and I've been trying to tell people, just remember fives, right?
Remember fives, okay.
Yeah, March 5th is the presidential primary.
Right.
June 25th is the state primary. And November 5th is the Super Bowl. It's the presidential election.
Okay, you said the one in June is June 5th?
No, June 25th. It's the state primary.
Well, the first one they have to deal with in March is a primary as well, right?
Yeah, that's the presidential primary. That's coming up on our radar, and ballots are actually going to be mailed out on Monday.
Okay. Now, 2 days later, on Thursday, is a caucus. What's the difference between the two regarding the outcome?
Well, you know, so we run the primary election, you know, and in terms of the caucuses, that's something that the parties run. Those are the folks that they're administering. Like me, I'm always... You know, democracy is not just about what happens in the polling booth, you know, or on the ballot. It is participation. So I've been encouraging people just to participate in any way they can in the political process.
Okay, so we don't have an issue like Nevada right now where they had a primary and a caucus and don't vote for none of the above and that whole confusing thing. We don't have that going on here.
No, I just run the election. I just run the primary election. That's my job, and we do it really well. So I hope people, you know, our job is to get people to turn in their ballots and treat it like any other election, right?
So if they voted in the last general election, they should be seeing a ballot from you then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And even if they're not sure on what to do with that thing, they can still return it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. They can always give us a call. And the number, yeah, so we have a lot of information that is online at denvervotes.org. Mm-hmm. You know, we did a whole revamp of that. The other thing is we have, 720-913-VOTE, and okay. People can give us a call there too. You know, my advice to folks is, you know, if you have any question on what's on your ballot or anything mm-hmm. like that, if you got the right ballot, if you don't think you got the right ballot for some reason, give us a call, right? We're always there to help. People can even dial 311 and they'll plug into us somehow. So.
Is it a good idea for people to maybe call your office and get firsthand what the process is when they get the ballot to turn it in, how it's going to count?
Absolutely.
And that way,
absolutely.
That way they can avoid misinformation from other sources.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes, people can call us. They can go to our website if they have any kind of question whatsoever. We are a trusted source. We are the trusted source of information in Denver County. As a matter of fact, people can call their clerks in any one of the 64 counties in Colorado or even mm-hmm. the Secretary of State's office. What we don't want people doing is taking what they see on Facebook and social media as fact.
Social media is a thing. Maybe a place you don't go for official information that's coming to you. It's better to reach
out and
get it yourself, and that way you can avoid AI fakes and all that stuff.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to bank on social media. Let's just say that. You don't want to check your banking account on social media and take their word for it. So, we just ask people for anything, any kind of question. No question is too difficult or no question is silly. You have people give us a call, and we will help you. We have our folks standing by.
Now, your election system has not changed since 2020. You still have drop boxes. You still have some voting machines in places and voting centers. You count them the same way. You audit them the same way. Has anything changed? I don't think anything has changed.
The only thing that changes is our voter rolls. We update it on the daily. We keep a clean list, and that's part of making sure that we have a secure and transparent election. But, you know, all of our systems, you know, are the same. We test every system before and after every election. And, you know, every time we've had what we call a logic and accuracy test, which tests our equipment for its accuracy, ahead of time, we've always batted 1,000. And every time we've had an audit, we've batted 1,000, which, you know, is basically statistical proof that it was accurate, right?
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that why people really need to know that, and that the system is the same, because everybody who's been denying elections since 2020 are now voting in primaries and using the same system and are happy as little larks.
Yeah, it's the same system. It's the same model. In Colorado, your vote is counted, most importantly, and also you can have faith that it's been done in a secure, transparent, and accessible manner. Mm-hmm. And I say that accessibility part because, you know, access to the ballot box and security of your vote is one and the same. We guarantee that, and that's something that, you know, I know there's been a lot of misinformation. There's been a lot of talking heads and a lot of opinions, but the matter of the fact is that every single one of us clerks in Colorado have the same model. So you can vote in person if you want to. And in Denver, we have a whole bunch of vote centers that people can choose from. 17 actually for the primary will be open in Denver.
Yeah.
In Denver, we have 43 secure 24-hour drop boxes that will be open starting February 12th. And it's a mail-in ballot, so all you got to do is put a first-class stamp on it and pop that thing in the mailbox. But you got to do that ahead of time. You can't wait until the last minute. We got to receive those by 7 p.m. on Election Day.
So those are the three ways that you can vote in Denver County and be rest assured your vote's going to be counted.
Absolutely. And you can go to our Denver Votes website, denvervotes.org, and we have a whole video. We have videos and how it explains the process from start to finish and how the life cycle of your ballot, right? So people can check that out on their leisure too.
Life cycle of the ballot. I like that. How can people legally assist older adults? Like I have my mother is in a nursing home here for an example. She's going to be 98 next month and she may need a little help voting. What can I do and not do that's legal?
So first of all you got to do is let us know, one, if you need any advice or anything like that, anything else. So the first thing I would recommend people to do is to go online, and we have a whole area where on our website where it explains the process to help somebody who needs that kind of assistance, not being able to do it on their own. Yeah. Know that you know, if somebody is in a nursing home or an assisted living facility, we work with those facilities to help them, and we get their ballots. We have our ballot security team, which is a Republican and a Democrat representing our office. They go with their ballot box and they collect those ballots.
Yeah, because some people want to help grandma or grandpa with their ballot, but there's only so much that they can legally do. They can't mark that ballot for them.
And, you know, the other thing, too, right? So, you know, age, one thing, right? But also ability, right? Not everybody has the same abilities, right? And for folks who need assistance with that, they can go to any one of our vote centers. And our vote centers have accessible ballots so they can hear and they could see and they could do everything they need to be able to cast their ballot. And somebody can be there with them. They just have to, you know, work with us and say that that's the case, that you're helping somebody in the vote center that's a family member or a friend that's needing assistance, and you just work with our staff that will be there.
Now,
they will help you through the process.
Do they have to show ID or something which proves that they are a family member helping them?
I would, you know, if anybody that's casting a ballot in person has to show a form of ID.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I can get more information on that process. You can see that process online. It's self-explanatory. Somebody can just hop online and see that, or you just give, that's one of those times where you just give us a call. If you are unsure, just give us a call and we will help you out. Yeah. We go out of our way to do that.
Now, you said you check your voting rolls every week. Is it?
We check it on the regularly and every day leading to election day.
Oh, every day.
They're updated. It's updated almost live, right? So it's their voting rolls. That's a statewide system. It's called SCORE. Mm-hmm. SCORE's been updated a few times. So, you know, as people register to vote, as people move, you know, folks pass away, you know, we are able to work with the Department of Corrections, with vital statistics, all that, the DMV, right? Specifically for those youngsters who are turning 16, want to pre-register and stuff like that, or, you know, people are registering to vote. It's automatic voter registration at the DMV. But for any kind of changes, we work with all those state agencies to update that statewide system statewide. I hate to be duplicative when I say that, but yeah, statewide,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but you have to, because people, like you said, people do move. And when we move, there's nothing in the moving kit that says, hey, go update your voter registration.
Right.
We go do everything else. So we may register in two different places, and you got to be able to take one of those down.
And that's very common. People move all the time. And that's a very common thing that we come across is, you know, when we see a new registration or somebody wants to, that we compare that to the data on their ID, for example, their date of birth, their last known address, and their voter identification number, things like that. So our staff, they're trained in this system called SCORE. They take regular training, updates like that. There's daily communication. So it's a well-oiled machine, and, you know, it's the best in the country, I think.
Oh, yeah. No, I've known that for years, covering it and everything else. At the same time, we've been reading about in other locations, there have been people that have been challenging people on a voting rolls. Now, does that happen here in Colorado as well?
You know, since I've been clerk, I don't think anybody's ever done that. You know, and it's not an invitation to do that. People have the right to vote.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be based off of their appearance. It shouldn't be based off of, you know, their language or age or anything like that. You know, mind your business. You vote. Be happy that you're able to vote. And, you know, other folks being able to vote, honor their right to vote as well, too. You know, if there's a question at all about somebody's eligibility, we investigate it.
And give you a chance to knock down some misinformation. Some people are walking around saying, well, all the migrants that are coming to Denver, they're here so they can vote. Migrants can't vote.
No immigrant who's coming into the country that's not a U.S. citizen, already a U.S. citizen and 18 years of age, can vote. The law is the law. You have to be a U.S. citizen and 18 to vote.
Yeah, somebody who's been sent up here from Texas doesn't fit the criteria, they're not going to be able to vote. So those people who are saying that that's going to happen is dead wrong misinformation again.
100% misinformation.
Yeah, yeah. You also do training for election judges. Are you going to have enough judges these cycles around,
I am going to be one of those guys that says, you know what, I'd rather have extra election judges than to be short of election judges. We have enough election judges to do this. But I tell you, I got to express my love and just admiration for our election judges. They are paid election judges, but, you know, they are very dedicated. These are folks who are our neighbors, our fellow citizens. A lot of them have served this country in the armed services. Some of them are, you know, just veterans of public service, things like that. We do everything we can to make sure that they have the training necessary, that they have a good work environment. We are going to need a lot more for the presidential primary.
Mr. Paul Lopez, clerk and recorder for the City and County of Denver, is our guest on this edition for our focus on preparing ourselves for the March primary election and voting during the year. We will continue our conversation with him on our next edition. I'm Adam Morgan. Do keep in touch, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.